You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now, here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome back to our studios two gentlemen that have been here several times in the past few months. They represent Theater by the Sea. Bill Haney is back. Welcome back, Bill.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be here.
Nice to see you, and I'm glad you've had a successful season. We'll talk about that in a moment. And Kevin Hill, the associate producer, I believe is your title at Theater by the Sea.
You are correct.
Welcome back to you, Kevin. Good
Thank
to see you.
Thanks.
And Bill, I mentioned a successful season. I think that's probably an understatement. The 80th year of the building.
Yep.
And your first year back as the main man, kind of.
Yep, absolutely. And last time I saw you was right before we started the season, several months ago, three or four. And at that point, I said, I really want to bring back a terrific season. I knew I had four great titles, and I wanted to put on that stage, you know, great versions of those titles. And I hate when I say this about my own shows, but I think we did it. All four down and done, and it was just a terrific season. Critically, you couldn't have gotten better. The public came out in droves. You couldn't, as we talked earlier, you couldn't get a ticket to see La Cage the last week if you were anybody, because I tried. and with that, the thing about that theater is there's no standing room there. You can't
well,
even say stand
gone
in the
up
back.
On a catwalk near the spotlight.
That would be dangerous to some of the people that wanted to go see my show. But yeah, the audience has just flipped over them right from nonsense on.
Right. And it did seem to, not to say nonsense wasn't great, it did seem to build as the season went.
It always does because the audience builds. The shows, when you do the shows that early in the season, the people really aren't here yet. That's why we always do the smaller show first. And you build up to the second, third, and the fourth. And the fourth is if you pick the right title, is the end of the season, and you pick the right time. We hit right during, which actually, as I think about this, it was sold out Labor Day weekend.
Sure.
Which is interesting. Sometimes that weekend could be a little off to doing other things, but this was quite the weekend.
Well, everybody had decided that was the show to see. It was amazing, a great performance by all at for La Cage, we're talking about, and the other shows, Nonsense, we mentioned, and then we went from Nonsense into, and I'm trying to recall.
Cats,
right. Admittedly, not my favorite show, but a great production. And then after Cats,
Annie,
and that was great. And Annie had some trials and tribulations.
Oh,
Kevin,
yeah.
I remember seeing you at the show, and now that it's over, can we kind of give a little behind the scenes? There was more than one Annie, right?
We had four.
We had four Annies, and I'm going to tell that story quickly because Kevin and I were sitting out on the porch ready to go on stage and do our curtain speech when our stage manager came out in a white face because he was completely white, and he almost couldn't speak, and he said, "We got a problem. Annie can't go on. She's sick." And this is Thursday night before Friday opening where all the critics come. And we just didn't know what to do at that point, so we got our director, Mr. Sabellico. He went back and got her on stage, and she lasted almost to the end of the first act. But then the last scene, there was no Annie on the stage. There was two other people that were doing the part without Annie. Long story short, we got somebody to go on for the second act, the understudy, and she was terrific, but she wasn't what we wanted, you know, for the whole run.
Sure.
And it's amazing how it happened in 3 hours.
Yes.
I got on the phone, tracked down Lauren, who did my Annie a year before at North Shore, who was over the top terrific. She agreed to come down the next morning and get into the show and be put in. The next day, 12 o'clock, she was there. Probably 10 o'clock.
5-hour rehearsal.
5-hour rehearsal in the show that night, which was opening night,
yep.
And got rave reviews. The show got rave reviews.
Yes.
It was all about what we did to fix Annie, you know. But then But then, how do you know this one, Kim?
She had to go away, right?
She had to go on vacation for four or five days.
Bermuda.
So we got somebody else from the production in New Jersey from the Surflight. She came in, and then Lauren came back. And so, yeah, I think probably the first time, and they said four Annies in one show in the history of probably not too many theaters.
Right.
In 2 weeks.
But that's showbiz.
That's show business.
And that's exactly. And that's why you guys look so young and youthful.
Yeah, exactly.
It keeps you vibrant.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, we're going to touch on next year's performance, next season, which is next year. A little bit of time here. We'll kind of make the announcement here as to what's coming up.
Love
so that's going to be interesting. But the very first show, we can tell everyone. And Kevin, I like the way you did this. I believe you went on stage and said, would you rather have this or that? And what was the that?
Patsy Cline.
Right, was a possibility, but you went with Rat Pack. And so we'll play some music from the Rat Pack, and I'm going to actually play the real guys, the real Rat Pack, because it'll be hard to get them because they're all dead. But listen, we had four Annies.
I could probably pull that one off, too.
We'll play some Rat Pack music and come back and talk about the rest of the season.
A troop of strolling players are we. Stars like L.B. Mayer's are we, but just a simple band who roams about the land, dispensing fol-de-rol frivolity. Mere folk who give distraction are we.
New theater give attraction are we.
Oh, shut up, Sam.
But just a crazy group that never ceases to troop around the map of Little Italy.
Here we go, back to the home country again.
We open in Venice, we next play Verona, then on to Cremona.
Lots of laughs in Cremona, hey boy.
Our next jump in Parma, that dopey mopey menace, then Mantua, then Padua, then we open again. Where? We open in Venice, we next play Verona, then on to Cremona.
Lots of bars in Cremona.
Our next jump in Parma,
that fearless, cheerless menace,
then Mantua, then Padua,
then we open again.
Where? We open in Venice, we next play Verona, then on to Cremona.
Lots of money in Cremona.
Our next jump in Parma,
that dingy, smingy menace,
then Mantua, then Padua,
and we open again.
Where? We open in Venice, we next play Verona, then on to Cremona.
Lots of quail in Cremona.
Ah! Our next jump in Parma, that heartless, heartless menace, then Mantua, then Padua, then we open again. Where?
Oh. Well, let me see now. I got a map. Let's pick out someplace.
Yeah, well, just don't take it too far down the line there.
Oh, well, let's take the first canyon out of here.
Matter of fact, if we hurry, we can beat the tab. Of course, yeah. The sheriff's out there waiting for us.
Get out, boys. Get out.
No denying the sounds of those voices, and can't wait to see what you come up with when the Rat Pack is put on stage at Theater by the Sea. And that's going to, opening day is usually the end of May, beginning of June?
It's going to be the beginning of June, I believe.
Beginning of June.
June 3rd, I think.
Yeah, we went a little later this year. We're actually going past, the last week of the season will be after Labor Day.
Oh, okay.
And the reason for that is this show that we're putting together with Sandy Hackett, it was only available for a certain time, and it wasn't available the earliest slot, so we had to move things around so we can get our 3 weeks out of it. But I also, as we thought about it, there are more people here after Labor Day than early June. There really are.
Right.
So it's not a crazy thing to kind of push it that way as opposed to earlier.
So Sandy Hackett is the man with
absolutely.
The Rat Pack.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, is he the producer, the
director?
He
is the producer. He's assembled the cast. He's
Buddy Hackett's son.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Shapoopy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
There we go.
Yep.
But, okay, so the Rat Pack coming to Theater by the Sea the first week of June. We'll get you all those details. But people can buy tickets now.
Yes, they can. We've been on sale. We actually announced the season during Annie, yep. And we went on sale during Lacage for renewals and subscribers only. And we are very happy with the sales so far. It seems that people like the season so far. As a matter of fact, I don't know if, Kevin, I don't know if you don't know this, but we've got already around 22% of the sales so far are new subscribers.
Wow.
Which is a lot. Let me just tell you, that's a lot of new people
who
decided
amazing.
To make a commitment. And I was just, when Tom told me, I said, check your math. And he said, Bill, I'm not wrong on this one. You have about 22, at that point, this was a couple weeks ago, percent new subscribers.
Wow.
That decided that they like what they saw and they want to be part of it. We also make, as you know, when you went to the theater, I make a big deal about our subscribers.
Sure.
They are the foundation of this of any theater, especially this theater, and it's the audience we build from. And I would have a lot of fun during the curtain speeches because I would ask, you know, for them to let me hear from them, let them clap. Then once in a while I would do, okay, let me hear from the non-subscribers. And the difference was probably 75-25, yeah. You know,
sure.
That kind of thing. And I told the non-subscribers, I said, well, you'd be sitting down in front if you were subscribers, so please subscribe, and maybe you won't get seats next year because we're going to increase our subscribers, and it's actually happening. This could actually fill in, which I don't know if there are many theaters that have a really, you know, I don't think there's any such thing as 100% subscribers, but we don't have a lot of seats. We have 500 seats.
Right.
So it doesn't take a lot of people to fill those seats up. So you could get to that number.
That'll be great, and there are some advantages to being a subscriber. First of all, you get your choice of the tickets now. There's what you have called a flex plan, if you will. I'm probably using the wrong name, but how that works. But, you know, they can trade their tickets when it gets close to the show. In other words, they can buy tickets now for August and not have to know what they're doing.
A flex plan, the way I understand this one, is just you buy tickets to shows. You don't necessarily get the ticket to a show. And when you're ready to make the decision, you do that. I really encourage people, you get a little bit of a discount. The biggest discount is when you become a subscriber. Most of the perks go with subscribers. And the biggest thing, I think, besides saving money with a subscriber, is you get free exchanges. So that
That's what I meant.
But I really encourage people when they subscribe, because if you don't know what you're doing next August, you can, at any time prior to the show, you can exchange your ticket for another performance of that show. And that takes really the worry out of what am I doing? I can't figure out in a year what I'm doing, you know, four times.
Mm-hmm.
And they save at the restaurant, 10% off the bill at the restaurant. And this year we're going to attach to this a lot more perks, which we're working on now, which makes, again, I want the subscribers to fill my theater up so we don't have to do any advertising after subscriptions are done. We would be done with advertising because we'll already be full for the season. And I think, you know, knowing where we are now with subscriptions, we could get there at some point. It's a goal that's, you know, that's achievable.
Excellent.
And they will also get 10% off additional tickets purchased.
That's true. If they want to, like, that happened a lot this year. Yeah. People saw Annie and said, I got to bring people back, like Kaj especially.
Right.
Subscribers would come back again and bring other people, and they get 10% off their friends' tickets, which is pretty cool.
That's great. That's a great thing. And then after Rat Pack, the next announcement for the next show coming along is a favorite of a lot of people. I guess almost a cult following for this one. It's called Grease.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Not done a lot. Frankly, I think it's because it's so expensive to get the rights to it. and I'm not lying. It's one of the more popular shows as far as attendance-wise. We had one of the biggest, you know, well, when I tell the audience, mm-hmm. the biggest cheer, one of the biggest was really Grease, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent. Well, we'll listen to a piece of music from that called Greased Lightning, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the season. Have to listen to Greased Lightning and take a short break.
Why this car could be automatic, systematic, hydromatic? Why it's Greased Lightning?
I'll give me overhead lifters and four barrel quads.
Keep talking, well, keep talking.
Injection cut off and chrome plated ride.
We'll get the money, you know. We'll get the money.
We're the four speed on the floor. They'll be waiting at the door. You know that ain't no shit. I'll be getting lots of tin. Grease lightning.
Go, 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 go.
Grease lightning, you're burning up the quarter mile.
Grease lightning, go, grease lightning, go.
Grease lightning, you're coasting through the heat lap trial.
Grease lightning, go, grease lightning.
You are supreme, the chicks will scream.
Some grease lightning.
Go, 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 go.
Give me purple fringe tail lights and 30-inch fins. Oh, yeah.
A Palomino dashboard.
You know that I ain't bragging, she's a real dragon wagon.
Grease lightning.
Go, 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 go.
Grease lightning, you're burning up the quarter mile.
Grease lightning, go, grease lightning, go.
Grease lightning, you're coasting through the heat lap trial.
Grease
scream. Uh-huh. Grease of lightning.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and we are sitting with Theater by the Sea's Kevin Hill and Bill Haney. And they have had a wonderful season. It's just wrapped up at Theater by the Sea. If you haven't been there, you have to put it on your calendar to get down there next season, which is going to start the first week of June. And in the meantime, we wanted to encourage you to buy tickets. And we're going to talk about the shows that are coming up. And before we get to the next show, I want to just go back to this past season, because you ended up on such a strong note with Lacage, and I understand even some records were broken, correct?
Two records and one almost. The biggest record we broke was, this was the highest four-show grossing season, mm-hmm. because all four shows were so strong that it broke the entire gross for the season. Lacage, the final week, was the highest grossing week in the history of the theater, any week. The record we almost broke, but producers carries that record still, was that Annie was the second highest grossing show in the theater's history.
Wow.
Which is pretty good. I mean, it's hard to beat producers. I think you saw producers way back when.
That's right.
One heck of a show.
Absolutely.
And a very popular title back then. But I'm happy with it. Those three, I'm extremely happy, and we'll try to just beat it next year. That's all.
Right. We will.
We can take a shot at it next year.
Oh, that's right. Now, one of the things I didn't talk to you about during the commercial break, about things I wanted to ask you, and this is, you know, every once in a while interviews get a little bit pointed and you don't like to answer certain questions, but I feel that I have to ask these questions.
Uh-oh.
Did you ever find the paper towel holder?
Yes, I love it. Absolutely. What we ended up doing, it's the funniest thing, Mike. We ended up going back to, you know, these in every bathroom everywhere. They're stainless steel. They get the trifold towels. You pull them out of the bottom.
Yep.
And all I did was go to my incredible props department and scene painters. I said, make this look old. And they painted it. It came back. It was crackled. It looked terrific.
Really?
So that's what did it. Absolutely.
Well,
yep. We figured that problem out.
I should have checked it out.
Yes.
But see, now you've been put on the hot seat and you answered it great. Okay. And you notice that you answered it and Kevin was just avoiding it.
Only because it was the biggest thing I cared about. He says, well, you renovated a whole theater, but you care about the damn bathroom tissue towel thing.
Well, it is a beautiful theater. And as I mentioned before, if you haven't been there, you've got to get there. The next show after Rat Pack is going to be After Rat Pack and after Grease is going to be Mary Poppins. And Mary Poppins sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Kevin, what is your role in getting things like this to the theater? Are you...
Well, once Bill decides, you know, the shows, I mean, we all kind of have to agree with what he chooses, but ultimately...
But I do get all the input.
The feedback.
Yeah, I'm one of
feedback.
Those people that, you know, I make the final decision because it is my money and my name, my theater, but I don't like to make those by myself without at least having a lot of input from the people who I give a lot of credit to giving me input.
All right.
But then once that happens, then we secure the rights to the shows, and then my job... this year, next year, we'll be hiring the directors, choreographers, scenic designers, sound designers, lighting designers, so basically everybody.
Right. Everything that goes on other than the actors,
yes.
Correct?
Well, I'll be in charge of that as well.
Yeah, what happens basically, as Kevin just said, to do at the North Shore, is after the titles are chosen, then you sit down, you talk about, well, who do you think is going to direct the shows? And we think we may have the guy sitting next be direct the show next season.
Yes.
We're talking about it. as you know, he's a good director. He did Hello, Dolly. But then we pick our four directors. Mm-hmm. We go and then Kevin is really good at, he knows a million people out there. He'll say, okay, you know, let's go to the pool of designers that we've already worked with.
Sure.
And if we didn't like somebody, we want to try somebody different. He'll suggest a bunch of people. We'll kind of investigate them. When all that gets done, the crew that we have to choose and hire, the front of house staff that maybe not be coming back or coming back gets chosen. And then we start our auditions in, I think it's February or March.
March, yeah.
We go to, we do local, we go to New York, and we assemble the people you saw on that stage. And,
right. There's a thousand things to worry about and a thousand things to do.
Oh, there's a thousand and one. And honest to God, and this guy, as you know, Kevin lived at the theater this summer from when he moved in probably sometime mid-May until he just moved out. Have you moved out yet?
About
95% moved out on property, no less. Yeah. So to take care of any problems. And he's there to really, you know, as anything starts to smolder till it becomes a fire, then he puts it out and then we deal with it.
Well, sounds like a super job. So let's go
let
to...
Let me just say one thing. He did a really great job this year.
Thank you.
He did a magnificent job this year. And I want him to know that, but I've already told him a couple of times.
Yes.
Yeah, he's probably heard it before.
Thank you.
he gets, I'm sure, a lot of people patting you on the back, Kevin, because it was
pretty
obvious.
Well, after they yell at him that there's a problem, and they say, thank you for fixing a problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's get to a piece of music from Mary Poppins, and what else but supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That's not a word.
Of course it's a word. And unless I'm very much mistaken, I think it's going to prove a rather useful one. When trying to express oneself, it's frankly quite absurd to leaf through lengthy lexicons to find the perfect word. A little spontaneity keeps conversation keen. You need to find a way to say precisely what you mean. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
But it doesn't mean anything.
It can mean exactly what you want it to. When Stone Age men were chatting, simply grunting would suffice.
Now if they'd heard this word, they might have used it once or twice.
That's right.
I'm sure Egyptian pharaohs would have grasped it in a jiff.
Mm-hmm.
Then every single pyramid would bear this hieroglyph. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Saiyans and wild animals would not seem so ferocious.
Add some further flourishes, it's so rococococious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Druids could have carved it on their mighty monoliths.
Oh yeah?
The ancient Greeks, I'm certain, would have used it in their myths.
I'm sure the Roman Empire only entered the abyss because those Latin scholars never had a word like this.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
If you say it softly, the effect can be hypnotious.
Check your breath before you speak in case it's halitosis.
Oh, Bert.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
You can say in backwards. We shall still be good alive. Sipsy can still a garfle a creepus.
She may be tricky, but she's bloody good.
So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay. Just summon up this word and then you've got a lot to say.
Pick out those 18 consonants and 16 vowels as well, and put them in an order which is very hard to spell.
S-U-P-E-R-C-A-L-I-S-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-E-X-P-I-A-L-I-D-O-C-I-O-U-S.
Never clogs.
Very familiar music, very familiar songs, and we're going to listen to one more Chim Chim Tree coming up in just a minute. Bill, you know, you think of Mary Poppins, and one of the things that happens in the movie that I guess can't really do on a stage is Mary Poppins flies. So
who said you can't do it on a stage?
We're going to try.
First of all, to back up a little bit, this is Disney's Mary Poppins. It was the Broadway show which toured around the world, and currently still is, and we were able to snag the rights to get it. I don't know how many theaters are doing it near us, but I don't think any of them are.
Right.
And then you take a project that, and it becomes very adventurous to try to put it on that stage, or in this case, put it over the audience, because we're going to do something the theater's never done, and fly her out over the audience.
So, wow.
Yes.
In that theater.
In that theater. We've already had the people who do all my flying, ZFX, they do all the flying for me at North Shore. They did Wizard of Oz. They've done Christmas Carol for 5 years, blah, 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 blah. And they came and looked at it and said, okay, because, you know, this is an old barn theater. There
sure.
are certain things not in place that would have to be
right.
put in place. But I want to do this show right, especially Disney. I want to make sure Disney likes what we do so we get future shows from Disney. I think we'll hopefully pull it off. Hopefully it won't be a Spider-Man kind of thing where they fall out of the sky
no,
onto the
no,
people.
We'll go there.
but no, we're going to do it.
That's very exciting.
It should be really exciting.
Now,
and I think our Mary Poppins will be the Rhode Island premiere.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody's doing it in Massachusetts either, so it might be there too, and I don't know about Connecticut, but yeah.
Well, we'll find out, I'm sure. You know,
we'll have more information coming up. Yeah.
There you go. Well, we're going to have you back. You got to come back sometime in, around Christmas.
And then
back again in the spring when we get ready for the season to actually open. So we'll
Come back at Christmas, around whatever time is, we've actually pushed forward, we pushed closer to now, the subscription campaign. We're going to actually go on sale with single tickets around Thanksgiving, which has never been done before. It usually happens in May.
Right.
But I felt, why are we making people wait so long? We always want to build up our subscription. That's the most important thing. But there are so many perks to be a subscriber. They'll be a subscriber even if they can go buy a ticket to Mary Poppins, because they'll still have the best seats in the house and the better deal. But we're going to have that information to share with you when I come back. So we'll see how that's been doing.
Excellent. Well, I mentioned Chim Chim Tree. Let's listen to that, then take a short break and be back with the rest of the season.
Thank you.
up where the smoke is all billowed and curled. Between pavement and stars is the chimney sweep's world, where there's hardly no day, nor hardly no night. There's things half in shadows and halfways in light. On the rooftops of London. What a sight.
Oh, you're a sweep now, are you?
Best view in the world, eh? And who gets to see it? The birds, the stars, and the chimney sweeps. Nothing to beat it, eh? Now, as the ladder of life has been strung, you may think a sweep's on the bottom most rung. Though I spends me time in the ashes and smoke, in this old wide world, there's no happier bloke. Chim-chimini, chim-chimini, chim-chim-chiree, a sweep is as lucky can be. Chim-chimini, chim-chimini, chim-chim-chiroo,
good luck will rub off when he shakes hands with you.
Or blow me a kiss.
But...
and that's lucky too. Does this mean you're going?
The wind's changed.
Ah, but they're good kids, Mary.
Would I be bothering with them if they weren't? But I can't help them if they won't let me, and no one is so hard to teach as a child who knows everything.
So?
So, they've got to do the next bit on their own.
Chim-chimini, chim-chimini, chim-chim-chiree.
When you're with a sweep, you're in glad. Goodbye, Bert.
Chim, 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 cheree. When you're with a sweep, you're in glad company. Nowhere is there a more happier crew than them's what sings chim, chim, cheree, chim, cheroo. Chim, chimini, chim, chim, cheree, chim.
Cheerio, Bert. Keep an eye on them for me.
In the name of heaven, are you two up to? Where's Mary Poppins?
She's gone.
Gone? Well, if she doesn't have a heart of stone and no mistake.
She left us a note.
What does it say?
Mrs. Brill, what does au revoir mean?
Why?
Because that's what she's written on it. Dear Jane and Michael, keep playing the games. Au revoir, Mary Poppins.
Well, I'm not up on these foreign tongues, but it's French, I know that. Now, let's see. Does it mean God bless you? Or is it good luck? Oh, no, I remember now. It means till we meet again. Now, will you come on in before you catch your death?
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Kevin Hill from Theater by the Sea, and the one and only, the famous, the man whose name is on the building, Bill Haney, is here. And Bill, what exactly is your title? Is it owner, producer, director?
Owner, producer. I
car wash employee.
Well, I'll ask Kevin. I'll do anything. Whatever it needs. I just won't put on a red dress and red hair. I drew the line there. I said, I'm not going to be Annie.
You're not going to be Annie, right? Kevin, you could have done Annie.
The dress wouldn't fit him. That's fine.
Now, I know that, Kevin, just before we get to the next show, which we want to announce, just a word about you. Found out something before the show today that you directed Sound of Music.
No. Hello, Dolly.
I mean, Hello, Dolly. It was sound music. Hello, Dolly, which was a great production with Katie Huffman.
Yep.
And she's a great talent, and that was very well done. So I wanted to throw some more kudos your way.
Thank you.
You know, we're getting a lot of pats on the back for Kevin today. So
that's one of the reasons, besides becoming his friend, knowing, because I love that production of Hello, Dolly, and just his knowledge of the business, and I get along so well with him. So that was an easy choice of having him do these with me. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And when we talk about the property and the fact that you stayed at the property at Theater by the Sea, for those of you that, you know, the two people out there in the listening audience that haven't been there yet, it's just a wonderful, wonderful place to visit. You've got beautiful grounds and gardens to look at. You've got the availability of the gazebo where you can buy beverages before the show or during intermission or after the show. You've got the bistro, and it's just a great spot.
And the cabaret after, which
and the
is
cabaret so after the show, too. So there's all kinds of things to take in. And when we talk in the next segment about buying tickets, you can walk down there and buy tickets. So keep that in mind when the springtime rolls around. Just a good place to visit. We have another show, the last of the four, to announce, and that's going to be what, Bill?
Spamalot.
Spamalot.
Monty Python Spamalot.
Oh, I say.
Yep, and ask me why I chose it. As you kind of follow the way the Theater by the Sea works, is we usually kind of do shows in segments or theme shows. We open up with a small show in the spring, in the late spring.
Right.
And then we go with something popular, could be a classic, whatever. And then we do a family kind of driven show this year, Annie, next year, Poppins. And the last show is more, I don't want to say an adult show, but it's not a family show. And there will be producers, Lacage, example.
Right.
So this year, Spamalot, Monty Python, just fell right into that, has not been done a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's a truly fun show. I saw it with Charles Shaughnessy at a Gunkwood about 3 or 4 years ago and fell in love with it.
Now, when you choose a show like that, do you go by what the ticket sales are when there's national tours? Does that come into play at all? Or?
It could. I just look at what we think the popularity of the title might be. And this year, as I said at one point earlier, I threw all the big titles in this year. I said, let's come back with the 80th year, my first year back after a while, and start off with really big titles. And my concern, as well as North Shore, you did the same thing there, is how do you follow that up the next year?
Right.
I mean, really, how do you do this? And I lucked out, I swear, in my opinion, I lucked out with these four titles. I think they could be four very popular titles, and they've all done business. I usually don't like to pick the flops.
But
you don't know how the audience is going to really receive them. But when we announced them on stage during Annie, they were flipping out.
Yeah.
Some even more in a better, higher way than others. Rat Pack got one of the biggest applauses. Yeah. It's like they seem to love that.
As we said during the break, hey, you're in Rhode Island.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. Give them what they want, I always say, you know?
And when they want it.
Exactly.
All right. We'll listen to a piece of music from Spamalot called Always Look on the Bright Side.
This is a total bloody disaster. All my knights have fled, and we're lost in a dark and very expensive forest.
Well, it could be worse.
Well, how could it possibly be worse?
Oh, cheer up, sire. You know what they say.
What do they say, Patsy?
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
You give it a try.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. forget about your sin. Give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
Always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true.
You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go.
Just remember that the last laugh is on you.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Excuse me, is that a shrubbery?
Oh, yes. I'm throwing it out. The cat won't leave it alone.
Well, what a stroke of luck. I'll take it off your hands. Pay the lady, Patsy.
Always look on the bright side of life. Look on the bright side of life. Side of life. Side of life.
Well, they have a little music from Spamalot, I say. And that'll be a lot of fun, I'm sure.
Guaranteed.
And, let's get back to explaining about the subscribers and the people that can buy tickets and how they can do that. And first of all, the website is obviously 24/7, 365 days a year. You can go to theaterbythesea.com, and that's pretty easy to remember. And you can buy tickets right online, or you can call. And I was just told during that song that you're going to have people there.
Yeah, our box office will be open, the actual theater box office, throughout the fall until we shut down the theater building. And then we move all of our offices, which are in the theater building, to the producer's cottage, which is in the rear of the property. And so there'll be signage directing people. If they want to go to the theater during certain hours, they'll call, make sure we're open, and they can come right down, save all the service fees and everything, and
great,
buy their tickets.
And but or they can call the phone number.
The phone number is 787-TKTS. TKTS 8587, I believe.
Yeah, correct. And that's a good way to do it. And you can talk to the people there. It's 782.
Oh boy,
they'll be calling,
somebody else's house. They'll hate
782-8587. Of course, area code 401.
But so. I encourage people. The autumn is beautiful there. To come, go see Vinny at the box office. Stroll around the gardens as they change for this part of the season. It's really a delightful place to go. Just walk around. It's a nice thing
really
to do.
It really is. Really is. And Vinny will probably provide lunch for you. And
he is. You don't know Vinny. He probably will.
Don't tell him I said that. Right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in and wrapping up what was a very, very successful season. Bill's first season, but the 80th of the building, where we had Nonsense and Cats and Annie and Lacage and just a great time. There was also things we haven't mentioned, and it probably will be next year, too. There was some other children's products.
Working on this now for next year also. We're very successful children's series this year.
So that'll be a good
thing.
And
next year, I'm thinking of doing some concerts on the off night. So we'll have lots to talk about as that starts to progress. Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll be an interesting thing, too. Well, maybe we'll get the real Frank Sinatra to come in.
Yeah, what the heck?
That'll be a good trick. Well, thank you both for being here, and I look forward to seeing you in a few months, and we'll talk around the Christmas season.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations. We're going to go out with a little more Rat Pack music.
What's playing at the Roxy? I'll tell you what's playing at the Roxy. A picture about a Minnesota man so in love with a Mississippi girl that he sacrifices everything and moves all the way to Biloxi. That's what's playing at the Roxy.
What's in the Daily News? I'll tell you what's in the Daily News. Story about a guy who bought his wife a small ruby with what otherwise would have been his union dues. That's what's in the Daily News.
What's happening all over? I'll tell you what's happening all over. Guys sitting home by a television set who once used to be something of a rover.
That's what's happening all over. Love is a thing that has licked them, and it looks like Nathan's another victim.
When you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some dough.
When you spot a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane, as only a John can be for a Jane.
When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that could flatten the Taj Mahal,
call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it for some doll.
When you see a Joe saving half of his dough, you can bet they'll be making it for some doll.
When a bum buys wine like a bum can't afford, it's a cinch that the bum is under the thumb of some little broad.
When you meet a mug lately out of the jug, and he's still lifting platinum falderol,
call it hell, call it heaven, it's a probable 12 to 7 that the guy is only doing it for some doll, some doll, some doll. The guy is only doing it for some doll.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.